Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. For any institute to be functional, you need two departments. One department will prepare the product. You've got a shop, so you have to see that the product is made available. One is the department that is dedicated to preparing the product. And this will apply to anything, even a madrasa, a university. So they'll have to prepare a product. Here the product will be the student, whatever he is learning, whatever he's admitted himself for. So he's learning that. So the one department is to prepare a product. The second department has to dedicate itself to market the product. Market it, advertise it, speak about it. Very seldom you will find that one individual is doing the both. He's preparing the product and he's marketing the product. So that is the likes of Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu, where 6 months he is engaged in learning and teaching, and 6 months he is engaged in jihad. So both he is doing. But how many Abdullah ibn Mubaraks can you find? Even in his zamana, there were very few that could balance the both, do the both and do it well. Some people Allah Pak has given them that capacity that they can manage this, they can manage that as well. Now, with the victory of our brothers in Afghanistan, there may be different type of responses. The general response is that we will rejoice, alhamdulillah, we should rejoice. If any brother, popular, not popular, but he's our brother, some good has come to him, so his happiness is our happiness. His pain is our pain. So if something good happened for any Muslim, any part of the world, then it is a requirement of Iman that we also rejoice in the day, in the hour, in the time of his rejoicing. And similarly, if it is the time of his grief and pain, then we need to see how we alleviate the pain, the grief, etc. That's the duty of a Muslim. Otherwise, you cannot call yourself a true Muslim, that it's his time of happiness and you're not rejoicing with him. That means we are hoping for him to collapse. So that's not the work of a Muslim. But now, this has happened. There'll be another class of non-Muslims, right? One will be those that will be biased or will be influenced by the media, right? That's one class. What the media says, that becomes the wahi, that becomes the goal. They begin to look at things according to how the media feeds them. So that's a good percentage of the public. They are driven, they are media driven, influenced by the media. So media can say something right, something wrong, as long as the news carried the article, so we get influenced. So that's one class. But there'll be a class of people that are, like the Quran Sharif says, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. They're all not alike. There are some that are looking for the right. So this is a great thing, where the Quran Sharif condemns some people, but then he says, the Quran Sharif makes an exception, that all aren't alike. Don't paint everybody with the same brush. In this whole commotion, there may be those that are looking for the truth. Right? There are those that will study the both. Right? There are those that will make a fair comparison. And when they make a fair comparison, they'll want to know, alright, what is Islam all about? Like, see, there is mosque over them, and such an easy victory, and there was no bloodshedding, no abusing, no insulting, and such a peaceful takeover, not bursting firecrackers and the fire display, nothing, absolutely peaceful, calm, serene. If there was a word better than peace, you would have used it, that more than peaceful it was, but such a calm takeover. So now when they see this, then they'll be intrigued to think now, okay, what is Islam all about and what is the Muslim supposed to be? That's what they want to see. See, like I said, there's two departments. One department is doing the product and one department is doing the advertisement or the marketing. So this that is doing the product, right, they have to be more vigilant, more careful. What product are we showing of Islam? They are doing their duty as they ought to do. Allah Ta'ala helped them, right? If whatever they are doing, they are doing their duty. But now those that are supposed to be preparing the product, are they doing their work? There's some coincidence, right? In the takeover, you hear everybody saying that they recited Iza Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. Now you look at the Fath Makkah Mukarramah, this was the reason for the revelation of the surah Iza Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. So this Fath Makkah is such an important event in the annal of Islam, that was the turning point. The turning point. Why it was the turning point? Because all the Arabs, their focus was on Makkah Mukarramah. Yeah, what's going to be the take of the Quraysh in Makkah Mukarramah? They're going this way or they're going the other way? If they're going this way, we'll all go accordingly. If they're going the other way, we'll go accordingly. So everybody's focus was in Makkah Mukarramah. It has to be, as the Hadith says, Al-A'immatu min Quraysh. That the Imams, the leaders are from the Quraysh, whether bad or good, Muslim or non-Muslim, but the leaders must be from the Quraysh. So everybody's eyes is focused on the Quraysh, which side they're going. And the moment they heard that these people accepted Islam, then you're getting about 500 or 1,000 people from Yemen coming in, deciding Labbaik towards Hajj. Right? People are sending their delegations upon delegations until they had to call it Amul Wufud, the year of the delegations. So when the delegations are going to point to Madinah Munawwara, they want to see Islam, they want to see Muslims. Right. Let it not be that what they heard about Islam, they find a totally different picture here. When they come here, they find a totally different picture. See, just illustrate this, make it even more clear. You got a dealership, motor cars, right? Selling Mercedes, right? Dealership. So you got all brand new cars, top of the range, full house, C-class, S-class, B-class, whatever class, right? But that he's selling for 10 million, 15 million, 20 million, all. So when you're going to be advertising the product, people will want to come to the showroom, come to the dealership and see what it is all about. If they come here and they see this car is broken down, roof is bust, the windscreen is not right, tire is all bust here, car is dented, the paint is not right, what will happen? They will really be disappointed. What you spoke about the car and what we see here is totally different. Right. So exactly the same, when they're going to be pouring in, they want to see Islam. So now, what do we have to do? It's good to talk about this thing here. It is good to talk about the victory, etc. It's right. But the more important thing is, are we doing our duty? Those that are talking about it, it's good. We'll support what they're saying. We will not go against them. But it's a time of rejoicing. So at the time of rejoicing, you must express your feelings. Like at the time, you were the first grandson. First grandson came, so there will be a lot of happiness. there'll be pictures there, or inanimate pictures, and there'll be a frame, and someone will bring a gift and say, "It's a boy." What is wanted to happen, huh? What is happening? All this thing will happen. So nobody goes against it. It's a time of happiness, it's an occasion. So I think it was leader in Hadith, Shawba radiallahu anhu. He comes to a wedding house, everybody is gloomy, looking down. But he says, "Am I at a janaza or am I at a wedding? There must be some cheer. It's a time of happiness. Within the confines of permissibility, show and express some happiness." There was nothing wrong in expressing happiness. But within the confines and the parameters of happiness, express it. Do it rightly. Don't run down people. Don't incite trouble. Right? People come here of all types, right? All types, all backgrounds. So the whole week now to listen to everybody's story. His version, that person's version, the third person's version. One person says, "No, I was in pick and win, pick and pay, biggest one." All around him was whites. So now I'm going to start them off. So the Abbas asked him, "Now, what did you do?" So I sang a song. And then he started singing. "I want to go to Afghanistan. I want to join the Taliban." He all, but you don't have to. You don't have to incite. You don't have to incite. Why must you incite? What are you going to get out of it? I don't say what you did was haram. I won't say that. But you don't have to incite. You don't have to create problems. Because it's going to take time for the dust to settle. You're going to see now what's going to happen after this. It'll take some time. Things are not just going to happen overnight. So just be calm, collected, but see what you have to do. In all this, what's going on, you have to do is at least you say, "I'm producing the product, I'm preparing the product." Now the product is prepared. How is it prepared? It's prepared by doing it rightly. In a Muslim, then all the right values have to come into the Muslim. He has to flush out all the wrong values and bring in the right values. When he's brought in the right values, then alhamdulillah, he's giving a good representation, a good name for Islam. He's not doing it for a name, he's doing it for his own self, but he's a good example of a Muslim. But delegations are coming in, right? So one person is saying, Jabir radiallahu anhu, someone is coming in at the time of the delegations pouring into Medina Munawara. And he said, "I was new in Islam and I didn't know much. All I heard was if someone sneezes and he says Alhamdulillah, then the person that listens to it will say Yarhamukallah. So I learned this basic things, a few things I heard. Now in namaz, and the person sneezed and he said Alhamdulillah, and I said loudly Yarhamukallah. Now everybody began to stare. Ayunin shuruz. Oh yeah, ayunin shuzur or something like that. They all started staring at me. So he says, in my mind I was really, really angry. Walakinni sakat, but I just maintained my silence. I was worked up. I didn't steal anything of yours. I didn't rob you. Why are you looking at me? Why are you giving me a dirty look? So that was going in his mind. So now, see the first impression. They're coming into Islam. They're coming to Muslims. They want to see what Islam is all about. So then after namaz, Rasulullah ﷺ called for me. And he called for me. Then he said, "See, namaz is for Allah ta'ala zikr, tasbih, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. That is Islam all about. It's laysa fi kalamun nas. There mustn't be any talk, any speech." Then he says, now his impression. See, he's coming out. The first impression, "Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman arfaq min." I haven't seen a teacher more considerate, more soft, more generous than Rasulullah SAW. So beautifully. He corrected me, but so beautifully me. "Ma qaharani wa ma sabbani." He didn't shout me. He didn't use any abusive languages. But he just told me so gently. I can't forget this. See what impression he's going with. So people are going to come in. They're going to see what Islam is all about. The media will do its work. We don't get consumed with music, with the media. We no longer consume it, we no longer get mesmerized. Right? Obviously, what the West wanted was, they spoke about it, they wanted a one world order. What do they mean by one world order? They wanted the whole world to be behaving and thinking in one way. Right? They wanted everybody to wear jeans and tights. Right? They wanted everybody to wear t-shirts. Right? So, thus far, they caught some success in that. That if it is not you, it is your child. Not your child, your cousin. Not your cousin, your nephew. Someone is going to wear jeans and tights. Boys and girls are going to be dressing identical, the same. So it's one world order, one type of behavior, one type of thinking, whether you're in China, whether you're in Japan, whichever part of the world, but one world order. That's what they want. Right? So when they got the whole world in one way, then it's easy for them to manipulate, to mesmerize, because they're thinking the same, their likes are the same, their dislikes are the same. You know, one country is going for Kentucky, the other one is going Kentucky. Right? One is going for McDonald's, so that whole culture goes through. That's what they call one world order, right? So now if you are conforming to that, then you're conforming to the world order. So then you are the friend. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Then only be happy if you follow their ways. Millat doesn't have to only mean religion, but can also mean their ways. Right? You conforming with their standards, their ways, then they're very happy. But you don't conform with them, then you become the enemy. Right? So now when you become the enemy now they will take out their grudge in a different way. How they'll vent their feelings? They took the control of the media. When they took the control of the media, through the media they'll fight you. Right? So that's how they'll fight. They'll humiliate you, they'll disgrace you. That's their work, you see. See, truly I was explaining this whole point in the tafsir by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And the Quran Sharif says about the munafiqeen, قُلْ لَا تُقْسِمُوا طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَ. The munafiqeen say, أَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِمَانِهِمْ لَيْنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُونَ. They take the greatest oaths that if you command them, we'll give you such obedience, if you ask us to leave our homes, we'll leave the homes. Right? So that's the level of allegiance they're giving. لَيْنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُونَ. So the Allah Ta'ala refutes this. He rejects this claim of theirs. He says, قُلْ لَا تُقْسِمُوا طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَ. Don't take this type of false oaths. Don't take this wrong oaths. Because طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَ, we know the type of allegiance, we know the type of promises that you make. You make promises, we know the type of promises you make. اِتَّخَذُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ جُنَّةً. They take their oaths as shields. So their oaths, etc., is just a bargaining tool. Their oaths, their promises, is just out of convenience. They make a promise, they take an oath, is just a bargaining tool, nothing more than that. Right? Just to see that they're getting things right. So they can take an oath, they can break the oath, they can take a promise, they can break the pledges. So for them it means nothing. Now why it means nothing, why they can break the oath so easily, is because, understand, see, there's two things that will restrain you. Two things that can restrain a normal person. One, he's got some self-level esteem. He's got his self-esteem, so his self-esteem will stop him. Antma saramche, that's what they say in Gujarati. Right? He's got some self-esteem, so his self-esteem will restrain him. I can't do this thing, man. How can I do such a thing? How can I stoop down so low? Right? So his self-esteem will stop him. See now, you need to look at this and look at it carefully, please. Right? A Westerner, right? It doesn't take anything to the woman to become stark naked. Just to put on just a panty, just a bra, and walk on the street, it takes nothing. On the beach, absolutely normal. Right? It doesn't, in front of her children, in front of friends, her father, mother, everybody, to be naked like that, it doesn't mean anything, right? Like I say, they don't have that self-esteem. But now you take a Muslim woman, don't say very pious, just an average class of Muslim woman, it'll be like impossible for her to do this. But for them it is absolutely normal behavior. So you see, وَلَمْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَى النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They're not going to listen to you. They won't be happy with you. So one thing that prevents you is your self-esteem, the shame that you have got, the respect that you have got within you. It prevents you from doing this thing. The second thing that prevents you is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got the fear of Allah ta'ala, you're not going to behave like that. So the one thing that stops you is the fear of Allah ta'ala. And the second thing that prevents you is your self-esteem, the name of your family, your reputation, etc. But if it is a person that's got no consideration for reputation, self-esteem, family, absolutely nothing he's got, right? And he doesn't have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, what stops him from behaving like how he's being? Is anything? So for them it's absolutely nothing to speak lies, to manipulate, to maneuver things, right? So it doesn't mean anything to them. So we as Muslims, we don't get carried away with this thing. See, our problem, the way it starts off is, we educated Western, right? We educated in their schools, we educated in the universities, we educated in the colleges, right? And ask anybody that has been to high school, secondary school, right? So there must be in the school, in the third book, there must be about one person that was doing some secret musti, right, with some girl, and then he eloped. Right? Somehow eloped. So there must be some story about that. How they eloped and that Julius, what Romeo and Juliet, all, they'll speak about all these stories. Right? So, but what they're doing, in the process, what they're doing, the process, they're doing this much, that seed of immorality, indecency, has been planted into your heart. So you begin to glorify them, hey, yeah, man, see how they did it, how so beautiful they did it. So you begin to gloat at this, you begin to glorify that, and the next thing, you know it, and you emulating them. So, our values are different, their values are totally different. So at no point can we reconcile. We can't reconcile, it's not conciliable. Can't reconcile. The differences are too major, you can't reconcile. Now, I don't know what words, but how can we insert this, instill this into the minds of a Muslim? Now, look, now the first, the media, they will smear this program. There will be a program, a heavy program now. And the program is to humiliate. The program will be to disgrace. The program will be to run down Islam and the Muslim. In a very subtle way. Not in a straight way, in a subtle way they'll try. But what's the idea? To run down. What they will run down? The pure Islam. So they want to run down Islam. But they'll do it in a very subtle way, in a very cunning, shrewd way. They won't do it straight. And our duty is to preserve the pure Islam. Right? You know, in our namaz, before the namaz, it's mustahab to say, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. Go look up at the meaning of Hanif. What's the meaning of Hanif? Hanif is not just giving yourself, but dedicating yourself. You gave up everything else, and then you gave yourself up. You dedicated yourself. Now, what do you mean by dedication? Dedication means you left everything else, and you are on a straight, clear path. Then, the path that you have taken is not contaminated, not mixed up. Now, the average Muslim today, he wants something diluted, something mixed up. Say, don't be so hard now. Be moderate Muslim. Be a Muslim, but moderate now. Don't be a fanatic. So becoming a true Muslim is a fanatic. And becoming a crooked Muslim is being moderate. So the whole interpretation is different. We think just be a Muslim, but be a true Muslim, be honest to Allah Ta'ala, be honest to His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't have this type of a mix-up Islam. And I ask you, this type of a mix-up, is it acceptable to you? For your personal reasons, is it acceptable? Alright, you got married, right? And your wife says, you know what, I had a boyfriend, I'll give you 6 days in the week, one day I'll be with my boyfriend. Is that acceptable? Dilution. It's again diluted. You don't want the diluted version. So come into Islam. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Come properly. Not half this side, half that side. Now that's the point of separation. Point of separation between Islam and every other religion. Every other religion, they can reconcile. Hinduism, they can do the Diwali, Christmas Day, they can do the Christmas, and New Year's Day, they can do the New Year's as well. Right? A Christian can go and separate, he can celebrate Diwali, Eid Day, he can come with us and enjoy himself with us as well. So they can do these things, but we say, no, we can't do this. So they will ask this question, but why are you different? You are a man, we are a man. Yes, we are men, but yes, there is a point where we must say that we separate. Hadha firaqu bayni, we can't reconcile these type of differences. Irreconcilable. Can't. So when you can't do it, we can't do it. Don't ask us to do it. So this is the campaign, the smear campaign, right? Propaganda. So they will not attack Islam directly, indirectly. They will look for a front, right? For a pretext that's going to be appealing. How they'll do it? Pretext that is appealing. Now, in this pretext that is appealing, this pretext will be appealing, attracting the normal reader. So what they'll talk about, for example, they'll talk about women's rights. Right. That's the thing they'll talk about. What they'll talk about? Women's rights. But the idea is to run down the pure, pristine, clean Islam and give you a diluted version of Islam. So that's the whole idea. That the pure Islam, leave that. That was for the old days. Now we need this diluted Islam, so that we can talk, we can live happily, we can be with everybody. So they want to give you a diluted version of Islam. That's the whole crux of it. The whole essence of it, they want to give you a diluted version of Islam. And Allah Pak doesn't want this. Go look at the reason of revelation for the verse, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Abdullah bin Salam, being such a great alim at that time, if you go look at his biography, then he was the greatest living Jewish rabbi. But he got mixed up. He said, alright, Sabbath is a day that we respect in Judaism. Islam doesn't say must disrespect it. The flesh of the camel is haram, according to Judaism, right? Islam doesn't say it is for us to eat it. So let's reconcile. You will not eat the flesh. You will not practice Judaism, but we will not eat the flesh as a consideration for Judaism, right? That was the only thing. Now, for the normal person, isn't it appealing? Is it appealing or not appealing? But Allah Pak didn't like this. Udkhulu fi silmi kaf. Come in. Come in complete. Don't come in. You got one leg in Christianity, one leg in Judaism, and one leg in Islam. No, I don't want that. Allah Pak doesn't want that. The diluted version, you keep it for yourself. Aghna shuraka. I don't want this. I'm an independent. Allah Pak is totally independent. He doesn't want this type of thing. So now the test is that which is the Muslim that will say that I want to be an undiluted Islam. I want an Islam, a Muslim, to be undiluted. And anyway goes, but I don't want this dilution. I don't want this mix-up. I want to remain absolutely pure. So that's the jihad for us. These people will do the jihad that is required for them. Our jihad is that we practice, we perfect, we teach, we propagate the undiluted version of Islam. That's our jihad. Be it a woman in the house, be it the child in the school, be it the adult at the university, be it someone in the madrasa. But what his whole jihad is, I want to practice the undiluted version of Islam. Pure. Absolute pure. I don't want a diluted version. So wherever you are at a mall, you are at a hall, wherever you are, but undiluted, I don't want a mixed up Islam. I want it absolutely pure. Give it to me. You see, when you say Amanna, then there must be Yuftanun. The trials are going to come. You say Amanna, then there will be trials. Allah will say, alright, you say that you believe, But are you firm? I want to put up a trial. When I put up a trial, I want to see how firm you stand. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi, he passed away, and there was a need to complete his kitab. So Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh, he had already predicted that someone would come and complete this kitab. So Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh, right, from Kandala, he had completed the kitab. So in that end, he's got a story. And the story brings up this concept that I'm presenting. So he says here that one person saw a pretty girl, right? So he started pursuing her. So the girl made out after some time that he is after me now. Looking, I'm turning right, so he's turning right. Turning left, so he's turning left as well. So she asked, "What's your problem?" He said, "No, I am your ashik. I'm mad of you, infatuated, right? I can't leave you, inseparable." So she just took a few steps, and then she said, "You know what? But my sister is coming behind, and she's 10 times more beautiful than me." Straight away, he took a U-turn. She gave one tight slap. Said, "You infatuated, and ye tumhara hal hai. This is the level of loyalty that you give. So if you're giving the loyalty to Islam for the sake of Islam, give it full. Then media, friend, no friend, right? Leave all that aside. What have you done for Islam? They gave millions of lives, right? They gave up their homes, their comforts, their food, everything they gave up, right? But what have you done for the sake of Islam? What type of undiluted version of Islam have you committed yourself to? Ask yourself. And are you guilty or not? It's nice to gloat about their success, their victory, etc., and then forget about it. But to do something, that's a difficult thing. That's why the Tablighi program is a difficult program. Because a normal program, alright, give some story, give some hadith, some story, exciting, what a beautiful talk. No commitment after that. And Tablighi after that day, now 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, what's your commitment? Mawlana, what's your commitment? You know, Mawlana ke liye toh ek saal dete hai. So they ask you for a commitment. So this is the right way to think, alright? Why? They did what they supposed to do. They sacrificed what they had to sacrifice. What sacrifice are you doing for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala asks you, right? These people gave their lives. They gave away their children, their homes, their wealth, everything was destroyed. Only for my love they did. They gave such a great commitment. They gave their lives, their loyalty, everything they gave. And you are sitting in the laps of comfort, the laps of happiness, the laps of joy. What did you do? You just celebrated over the joy, but in your confines, what have you done? I ask you, any of us, I ask, have you got an answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we have an answer? So this is the jihad that is required here. You're hearing stories of someone saying, "I want to go to Afghanistan, I want to do this." So I think, alright, you'll go there, do what? Even today, about 2-3 people came, "One will come, I want to go." I'm just asking your ijazah. So my question is, alright, you'll go there and do what? You'll go there and what will you do? Because now approximately the whole thing is taken over. Now you'll go there, what will you do? Say, no, now we're going to be aiming for the Harameen. See how Shaitan plays with your mind. But what is supposed to be done, that you're not doing. I told him, "See, alright, see that life there, have you got that courage, that type of capacity to adjust yourself for that life? Someday you're just getting dry bread, eating it, enjoying it, carrying on. Someday you're getting sleep, you're comfortable. Someday you're getting no sleep, you're comfortable, right? Just the 3-4 days that you have to do security here, you got burnt out, right? And you were talking so much about it, just 3-4 days, right? So much you talked about it. Yeah, months upon months, go in the mountain terrain, do this, not getting food. Yeah, you did a little bit of sacrifice, then you had the warm bed to sleep, good food to eat. There's absolutely nothing. Are you able to adjust yourself? Are you, ask yourself. So one person I had to see him this month. Second person I told him, you know, in that Russian invasion, when everybody was going through, right? Those Afghanis were saying, "Go back to South Africa, because to take care of one South Africa, we need 4 Afghanis. Because you people are like rainbow chicken. The rainbow chicken can't stay in the open. Can you stay in the open? Then you will die. One day, 2 days, you will die. that wild Zulu chicken can endure everything. But you can't endure it. So you think about your capacity, your muscle, your strength, and then move. But just going wild like that? So the jihad, so this is what I say, this is a commitment. What commitment you will give is the undiluted, pure version of Islam. How must I practice it? What must I do? Zayd ibn Sa'ina, he's also a Jewish rabbi, but one of the more wealthier philanthropists, Jewish, right? Very wealthy, about the second or third wealthiest person in Medina Munawwara. But he says, now, I came to Medina Munawwara, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still Jew, right? And there was a talk that there was some relief that was required, like how there was a relief, right? And people got relief for the poor, underprivileged, etc. So there was a need for some relief. So he offered his help, said, alright, I'll take the cash from me. Could do the relief operations. I'm wealthy, I don't need the wealth now. Payable when able, right? Now, before the due date, he comes up and he says, you people, Quraysh, Banu Hashim, you always known for your procrastinating. He's addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Umar is there, Abu Bakr is there, and he is really giving it in this way, humiliating. Meanwhile, the Sahabi that is quoting this whole thing says, I saw the anger of Umar. I saw the pupil just rotating in his eye sockets. He couldn't hold his anger. You addressing Rasulullah SAW in this manner. And Rasulullah SAW is very calm, says, no, he has got the right to speak. He is the creditor. The creditor has got the right to speak. Yes, a better advice could be to me to be even better in my payment and for him to be more gentle in his approach. But you see how composed Rasulullah SAW is. Anyway, everything was done, he's making the demand. And Rasulullah SAW is not telling him anything. When someone just showed something, Rasulullah SAW explained this, and then he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, right? Whoever it was, go and just pay him. See, we've got some stocks or something, go and pay him. Now, meanwhile, this person comes with Umar radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Sa'ina, and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I don't want this. And half my wealth or three quarter of my wealth is for Islam. But then, what prompted you to behave like this? He says, no, I read up all the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I found everything conforming. One thing was left in the Torah. There was one description that was left, that the more you become aggressive with him, proportionately his humility, proportionately his tolerance grows. As the aggression increases, then the humility and the tolerance and endurance just grows. So I wanted to see this. Now I saw it 4%. Now ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Well, it's a major shift in my life. I'll be ostracized from my family, from my people. Everything will be gone from me. Right? Now, before I make this commitment, I must be dead sure of what I'm doing. So this delegation are going to come in, and they're going to see what is Islam, what is the Muslim all about. Are we then being loyal to Islam? Are we being loyal to Muslims? Are we loyal to the cause? If we, I'm trusting in Allah that I'm saying these words, right? That if we are loyal to this cause, see, this is our department. If we are loyal to the cause, right, what we're supposed to be doing, I have hope in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will raise us up with these people. Inshallah. With these people that are fighting, they're giving their lives, but we doing our side of the deal, they doing their side of the deal, inshallah, who knows, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, He'll link us up with them. There'll be shuhada. Inshallah, but we're doing what was assigned to us. It's like an ishtima, right? Everybody can't be like Mullah Khatani and give the speech, right? Someone will be peeling potatoes, someone will be cleaning up the toilets, etc. But the rewards will be proportionate to your sincerity. If the toilet is not clean, the potatoes are not peeled, right? Mullah Khatani also can't give his talk. Can he give his talk nicely? He'll be able to deliver if every other department is working rightly. So the sawab will be coming out, then you're getting a proportionate reward, right? So our jihad now is that undiluted, pure version of Islam. And there's going to be a lot of dilution. And in all that dilution, a lot of that campaign, smearing campaign, we cannot be moved for a moment. We cannot be moved from our cause. Remain just firm. Can't be moved. They'll say a lot of things. They'll say human rights and etc. etc. They'll say all these things here. We can't be moved for a second. Now, the strange thing is, people that are talking of women's rights, what is their take on women? See first, what was their take and what was their behavior towards human rights? Then, now after, you see, we put the maths together, then look at the conclusion. You look at the end, after you put all the figures in place, put the figures on both sides, and then look at the end. Now, in the 1940s somewhere, right, they went and bombed Japan, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, right? Now these people are such, their hands are still dripping with the blood of innocent women, children, old MP people, right? 1940s. And that radioactive, that current that is coming out, radioactive, is still affecting that area of Japan. So 1940 and now it's 2020, right? It's approximately 8 years. But they are talking, they're becoming the champions of human rights. Who, those people whose hands and whose fingers are still dripping with the innocent blood of those helpless people. Their hands are still dripping. But they still got the guts, they still got the heart to talk about it. They're so confident of themselves. Like I said, either a person who has no self-esteem whatsoever, or he's got no fear of Allah Ta'ala, he can talk like this. But you've got some shame in you, you've got some dignity, reputation, you've got a family background, you've got the fear of Allah Ta'ala, you can't behave like this. It's impossible. They can talk about it, there's no self-esteem. The only thing that counts for them is publicity and wealth. That's the God that they love. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. That's the God. God is money, reputation. And we have got some family reputation, we have got Islam, we have got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we have got a lot of things to deter us. Now look at it, now look at 1940 and this is what happened, right? And moving on into history, there's a lot of other history I can talk about, but the main events that you can relate very easily. Then in Iraq, they went and put away about 3 million they put away, right? Whole country they destroyed, 3-4 million they put away, women, children. So perhaps this is the meaning of human rights, women's rights, according to their dictionary. See, so their definition of human rights is totally different. Japan, they went and destroyed human rights. Women rights, that was what they did. They went and destroyed Iraq. That's the meaning of human rights. That's the meaning of women's rights. Poor, old, women, children, they went and destroyed, but that's human rights. They are the champions of human rights. And we got the heart to dilute our Islam for them. We got the heart to dilute and mix up our Islam for which class of these people here? Right. Now you went on to Iraq, right? Now move on. Just move on. Just carry on. Then they didn't stop there at that point. Then they went on to Afghanistan. Afghanistan, they went and wiped out approximately 5 million men, women, children, made them totally homeless, right? Carpet bombed, right? Inch for inch, meter for meter, square meter for square meter, they wipe it out, right? But the human rights, it's according to human rights. It's according to women's rights, according to children's rights. So that's the definition of human rights. That's the definition of women's rights, right? See now, what's their definition? Try and understand what is their definition of human rights, what is their definition of women's rights. You know, it would appear, when you make a fair comparison, it would appear like this. That they have their own definitions, and when we present a definition, then we are distorted, right? Why we distorted? Because we don't have the media. We don't have the media to support us, so therefore we are distorted, right? But now let's just look at one Islamic law, right? If you talk about the Islamic law, and you talk about, say, for example, zina, indecency, right? And Islam will say, all right, it's an unmarried person, so flog him with 100 lashes. Married person, then stone him to death. But this is in total conformity with the previous scriptures. When this happened in the Jews, Rasulullah asked for the Torah. He flipped through the pages. When he flipped through the pages, then he came across the verse of a married person committing zina. And he commanded that this is according to your scripture. And he said, Allahumma inni awwalu man ahya amraka ba'da an amatuhu. Ana awwalu man ahya amraka ba'da an amatuhu. This will have destroyed your command. These people had, the Jews had destroyed your command, and I am reviving it. I am the first one to reviving it. So you see, the way of Rasulullah is not a diluted version. Now, you show me these countries that are professing Islam, have they got the guts, have they got the courage to revive Islam? Or they just want to show a diluted Islam? Revive Islam, or want to give a diluted Islam? So it's left to you where you give your allegiance. If you have given your allegiance to Allah Pak and His Rasul, something will be different. If you have given your allegiance to them, it will be different. If your allegiance is to them, it's in the way the dollars will come from. What happened to me? Infrastructure, what will happen to me? If you give your allegiance to Allah Pak and His Rasul, then He says, إِن تَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. If you fear poverty, right? If you fear poverty, Allah will give it to you. You don't worry about this. If you are fearing poverty, Allah will give it to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَسُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They spend to turn people away from the path of Allah Ta'ala. Right? That's what's the whole about them. Why? To turn away from Allah Ta'ala, from His command, from His constitution. So, يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَسُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They're going to spend that trillion. Somebody is saying 1 trillion, somebody is saying 3 trillion, whatever the amount, right? So there's 3 trillion, 10 trillion, but whatever. But the Quran Sharif is saying, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرًا. They're going to spend it, but then this will be a remorse for them. 3 trillion is spent here. And we didn't get anything after this, with disgrace we have to leave. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلِيمْ حَسَّرْتًا ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. And at the end they'll be defeated, they'll have to run away. It's going to happen. And Allah Pak is telling you, you're afraid about all this business, then Allah Pak, يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah Pak will give it to you. So don't you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trusting Him so much that this can't work and that can't work and the other thing can't work. But do you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you trust in Him? I've given this example quite a few times. Islamic law, right? Islamic law requires وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And when the corporal punishment is being meted out, then don't do it in a concealed, hidden manner. Do it, publicize the thing. If the hand needs to be chopped, then chop the hand, publicize it. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In today's world, if it has to happen, then it will become viral, the whole world. Hey, he stole, and this is what happened to him. So for that moment, it will look very difficult. It will look brutal, brutality, right? That he stole, and this is what has happened, right? Now, in the absence of the law of Allah Ta'ala, you want to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala with a man-made law, then look at the flaws of a man-made law, right? So they said it was brutality, right? When they said it was brutality, what happened? So they replaced it with a little bit of a jail, and you release the person, right? As a result, now what happens? What happens after that? That the whole community doesn't enjoy peace and security. Any community, any home, will see that they must have a burglar guard. They must have a CCTV. They must have a police patrol. And they have a security over the police station. They have a police station, and over the police station, you have a security. Right? Then you got guns. Big guns and small guns. You have to have guns, right? And with all that, you still feel insecure. Do you see that? Now, the Haramain for some time, they had Islamic law, right? But the effects, the remnants of it can be perceived even to this day. Even to this day you see that a woman can come out from her flat, from her dwelling, wherever she's living, She can come out at 1 o'clock in the morning, go to the haram, 3-4 hours she can spend there, and return back to her apartment. There's nothing to be afraid about. Absolutely nothing to be afraid about. A man has got millions, literally millions of gold. He's a cashier, he's got millions there. He doesn't bother just putting it, covering it up with a chadar, with a cloth, going to the Haram Sharif, spending 1-2 hours, coming back. The Arabs, the siyasta, the qayrura is very important. For 2 hours they'll go and park there, and then they'll come. But they're absolutely relaxed. Now show me that any Western country has got this level of peace and security. So this is the effect of Islamic law. That one person, you set an example, one person, but the whole world is now in peace, secure. You don't need burglar guards, you don't need police patrol, you don't need CCTV, you don't need anything. So as though you are saying that the whole world must live as though you are criminals, and the criminals are law-abiding. So the whole law is made to protect the interests of the criminal. It will appear as though the Western law, it will appear as though that those that are preparing the Western constitution, as though they are criminals, and they prepare the whole constitution for their own security. How do we come out? They know that from top to bottom, they're all corrupt, right? So if they involve in something, then they worked out a plan how to come out of it. They worked out a plan how to come out of it. Right, I just showed you one thing, right? Now I'm showing you what they mean by human rights. And then you make a fair comparison, then you understand these things. But the comparison, etc., you will understand it with time. Now look at it. When you talk about marriage, right, we talk about purity, chastity, etc., right? And the Quran will say, أَنْكِحُ الْيَتَامَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ not الْيَتَامَ أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ unmarried, get them married, right? So it's an address directed to the guardian, to the parents. What? Get your daughters married. That means the Quran Sharif is saying, girls and boys, you don't arrange your own marriages. What is it saying? You don't arrange your marriages. Your guardians, your elders, they will arrange your marriages. Ankihul ayama. Therefore Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi says, rahmatullahi alayhima, that the marriage is not valid. If they conducted the marriage themselves, then the marriage is invalid. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi also condemns it, although he says it will be valid if it's within the kufr, right? But he also condemns the practice. No, girl, you refer to your parents. Now, this is Islam. Now, out of Islam, you go and look for your own suitor. You go and look. So you'll go to a hall, you'll go to a mall, you'll go to a bazaar, you'll court, you'll date, right? And eventually you'll get into marriage, right? Both the spouses will feel very insecure. Okay, he has been to so many people and she's been to so many people. I don't know whether her mind or heart is stuck in one person or not. They are in marriage, right? They are in marriage, but they still feel very, very insecure of each other. I ask you, do they have the full security? Their life is that they were courting, they were dating, doing everything else, then they settle into a marriage, right? Can you tell me with absolute certainty that after they got into the marriage, they feel absolutely secure? We're talking of now the British Empire, right? In its heydays, right? British Empire, Elizabeth and all, or whoever, right? But someone did a survey, right? He did a survey, and this Elizabeth, Victoria, all these people there, right? So, those children that came out were not the children of the king. It was the butler's children. They showed, right, this is a butler. Look at the similarities. Look at the similarities. So, kiske bachche the? Kiske aulaad? France, look at the head of France, right? See the abuse. The teacher was a female. She abused this person here, caught him into the marriage, lured him into the marriage. Right. Now this is the standard in all Western universities, schools, etc. That nothing comes for nothing. You want marks, you want to pass, you see me right, I see you right. The boy is told, the girl is told, see me right, I see you right. That person, in his mind, what's in his mind? I need to pass. I'll fail now, I'll become a disgrace. This person will see me right. So he's prepared to do anything. But now that's the life of a university, that's the English life. In a president's office, president, prime minister's office, the girl, the secretary that is working there, she feels insecure. Look at any part, any Western country, and tell me that the woman that is working in the office, prime minister's office, does she feel absolutely secure? She doesn't know who's going to flirt, who will start, and she has to just play the game. She has to show a smiling face, she has to put up a makeup, etc., just to secure her job. She knows that this is where the dollars are rolling from. See that? So this is now their opinion, their understanding of woman's rights. Now it's left to you to choose now to decide what is right and what is not right.